Well, this past summer, the Trump administration changed the rules on how grants are doled out under Title 10. Title 10 was created by the government over 40 years ago to provide affordable birth control and reproductive health care for low-income women. The change was centered around abortion. If you're the recipient of a Title 10 fund, you are no longer allowed to refer patients for abortion and abortion services. In essence, anti-abortion advocates see the Title 10 program as using federal funds for abortions. Hence the argument we've heard for years about defunding Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood has long been a recipient of Title 10 grants over the past 40 years. And this effectively would have forced Planned Parenthood to give up those services if they wanted federal money. Well, they did just that. Rather than compromise the doctor-patient relationship, they walked away, leaving millions in funding on the table. This affected not only the national Planned Parenthood offices, but right here in the state of Illinois. So what now? What does the future hold for Planned Parenthood of Illinois, affordable reproductive health care, and Title 10? In studio with me, Jennifer Welch. She's the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Illinois. Jennifer, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Justin.
All right, so Title 10. I've been working on this all day, trying to figure out everything I need to know about Title 10. But it, just to start with an elevator pitch, what is Title 10?
Title 10 was about providing basic family planning and reproductive health care to low-income people who otherwise couldn't get the preventative care that Title 10 provides.
Okay.
So it's really simple, and you said it's been around for more than 40 years. This program was started by that crazy liberal president, President Nixon. So think about that. That's the context that we're in. It was started during the Nixon administration to ensure that people have access to contraception, and that's greater control over their lives and their health and their education, their employment, everything. So Title 10 covers wellness exams. It covers life-saving cancer screenings, birth control, and contraception. Also, more recently, it started covering testing and treatment for STIs, sexually transmitted infections, and HIV testing. A large range of very basic preventative health care, all funded by Title 10 and provided by clinics all over the country.
Now, the Trump administration came in and made a really small change, and the change was saying that anyone who also provides abortion services or refers for abortion services cannot get any of this money. Did you see that coming? Because there's been such a push from this president, and this president ran on this campaign, that they wanted to defund Planned Parenthood. That's the rhetoric that comes out. Is this the way you thought it would go down?
Unfortunately, we did. Because the president had been so clear that he was coming for this basic care that Planned Parenthood offered, he had warned us, and we believed him. And you know, the way that you're phrasing it is can no longer refer. We call it the gag rule, because what the new regulations do is they prevent our medical professionals from talking about a safe and legal procedure that one in four women in the United States will have in their lifetime. It's the very definition of a gag rule. Imagine if your medical provider couldn't talk to you about that knee replacement. The government shouldn't be scripting conversations between patients and medical professionals.
Now, has there ever been a time where, you know, just looking at the funds that you were getting for Title 10, that you said, you know what, maybe talking about abortion or referrals or whatever it might be, maybe it's time to look at that and say that's something that we don't want to offer, that we will stick with what the government guidelines are?
Abortion is a safe and common legal procedure, and it's part of the full spectrum of sexual and reproductive health care that Planned Parenthood offers. Patients need that service, so we're going to offer it, even if the federal government gags us and doesn't allow us to talk about it.
What is the plan for Planned Parenthood of Illinois? Because I can understand, you know, for a big organization like Planned Parenthood to be able to say, you know what, we don't need the federal money. We can leave the millions on because we can get donations, we can get different funding sources, we can survive. But I would assume for smaller providers, that's not the case, that they're in this position where they have to make a choice, a bigger choice, about whether or not they provide the services of abortion or take the money from the government.
You know, I hear what you're saying, but for me, let's take it up a level. It's really a more fundamental question. Planned Parenthood of Illinois was providing 40% of the care funded by Title X here in our state. That means that 100,000 patients are, this care is in jeopardy for them because of this Title X gag rule. So my point is, where are those patients going to go for care if not Planned Parenthood? And we're a statewide organization. And in Chicagoland, perhaps people have other options. But for our neighbors in central Illinois, six counties in central Illinois, and I'm not talking about tiny places. I'm talking about towns like Springfield, Illinois, Decatur, Peoria, Bloomington. Those counties, we were the only Title X provider. So if we left and stopped providing those services because of the federal government's gag rule, mm-hmm. those patients would have nowhere to go for care. So for Planned Parenthood of Illinois, it's an expensive proposition. We turned down $3.5 million. That's just for Illinois, just 1 year, Justin. And as a CEO, that's a big right. lift for me, right? I'm trying to find $3.5 million this year and next year and the year after that. And right now, private philanthropy is covering that. Because we had some warning, because we were preparing for the worst to happen. And so when it finally did happen, we have generous supporters who can fill the gap for a while. Mm-hmm. But philanthropy shouldn't have to pay for public health. It shouldn't have to pay for public health care that the federal government has been funding for almost 50 years yeah. because this program started in the 70s.
And I get it completely. But we see cases of this. If you just take abortion out for a second, we see cases of this with healthcare providers and insurance companies where they will say, you know, we're not going to cover this. Or we're not going to cover that, whatever it might be, just taken just generically. So how is this any different that the government is moving ahead saying, we're just not going to be in the business of funding this particular thing?
But the government is saying, we're not going to be in the business of funding this particular provider, right? Like, there are hospitals all over the country that do both reproductive health care and abortion. It's only Planned Parenthood and our patients that are getting targeted by the gag rule. And make no mistake about it, it's all related. The majority of Title X funded patients are people of color, people living in rural communities, Latinx population, people who have fewer resources and less access to care. So it's really part of this administration's targeting of vulnerable populations. It's consistent with all of that.
But going back to the idea that you know, we see, I mean, is that the same idea with insurance companies and other healthcare providers where they pick and choose what they cover? And we've had this battle in this country for decades now about pre-existing conditions and other things. I mean, can't you just put abortion into the same category that there are some organizations that just aren't going to fund it?
Yeah, but the federal government doesn't get to dictate what medical professionals get to provide for services. Yeah. That's the difference. An insurance company funding or not funding.
That's a private
particular
company,
kind.
Right.
And it's also, they would just say, we don't fund cataract surgery. We don't fund that fancy knee replacement. But this is the federal government saying, doctors, if you want this funding, you can't talk about abortion, a safe and legal and common procedure here in the United States.
Jennifer Welch, my guest tonight. She's the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Illinois. We're having a conversation about the changes to Title X and what effect it has on Planned Parenthood of Illinois and just reproductive health care services, not only in the state, but in the country. We'll continue our conversation here on Extension 720 right after break, so stay with us. It's Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're talking about Title X tonight, which is really about affordable birth control and reproductive health care for low-income people. Jennifer Welch is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Illinois. We're talking about a distinct change that the Trump administration has made to Title X, saying anyone who receives grants may not refer or speak of abortion services. Jennifer, there's I think there's this push in our country, especially when it's this is a very a lightning rod topic, and people don't want to talk about it. And when they do want to talk about it, they talk about it in partisan ways. Planned Parenthood gets sucked into that. And like you said, there are hospitals and healthcare providers all over the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois and this country that provide these services. For Planned Parenthood, you have to continually tell people that's not all you do. And as a matter of fact, it's a very small percentage of what you do.
Yeah, that's right, Justin. Planned Parenthood of Illinois served more than 70,000 patients last year. Just in our state, we have 17 health centers. Everywhere from Chicagoland down to central Illinois. And when I talk about 70,000 patients, let me give you some other numbers. We performed more than 90,000 sexually transmitted infection tests. Again, 1 year of service. We also perform family planning and offer every type of FDA-approved birth control. Of course, abortion care is part of our services, but so is HIV testing and prevention. So are vasectomies, emergency contraception, acne care, gender-affirming hormone therapy, and cancer screenings. We did more than 5,000 cancer screenings. So let me ask you, on that whole list, was there anything on that list that surprised you? Mm-hmm. Because I think most people are surprised when they realize the broad range of services that we're offering.
Well, I guess they would be surprised, but I think that a lot of women would not be surprised. And I think that this comes down to it becomes a partisan conversation, and not unlike everything that we've been talking about tonight, people want to control the narrative. And it seems to me that it's a simpler fight to say that Planned Parenthood does abortions and abortions only when you're trying to move the country and persuade the country to possibly change the federal law.
That's right. And I will say one interesting fact is 10% of our patients identify as male. So it's not only women who know what we're really doing at Planned Parenthood. And it's important for me to tell all of our patients, our doors are open. They were open today, they'll be open tomorrow, even though this administration is targeting us and trying to take away the invaluable care that you get at Planned Parenthood. Keep coming to us and we will be there for you no matter what.
Okay, so for you as a CEO, to have to look at a budget or a bottom line and say we're going to remove $3.5 million from it in this annual budget, what do you do? Is the idea that you're going to find alternate funding? Of course, that's number one. But when you look at that, which hat do you wear? Do you wear the hat that says, is there any way to lobby an administration to change it back? Or are you steadfast that this is a philosophical and targeted decision and we need to find other funding sources? What, as a CEO, how do you move forward from losing this kind of money?
Well, as a CEO, as usual, I'm moving forward in about five different directions, all at mock speed. The first thing that we're doing is fighting in court. The American Medical Association, attorneys generals from all over the country, and lots of other groups are in a lawsuit with Planned Parenthood to stop this regulation from taking effect. So lawsuit continues. There are absolutely legislative options. In fact, the House of Representatives has already acted to put Title X funding back in the next budget. We need the Senate to do the same. So there are federal legislative acts, and then there are local mm-hmm. legislative acts.
Now, do you look towards the state? We see this in so many different issues that are happening in our country. If they stall on gun control issues in Washington, states take it up. If it's issues of to look at recreational marijuana, states take it up. Is this the same kind of thing? Are you going to see more of the states having to take up the role of funding past Title X providers to make sure that people have affordable access to healthcare?
We are. And in fact, Governor Pritzker and the Illinois Department of Public Health have already said that they would replace the funding for IDPH, Illinois Department of Public Health funded Title X agencies. Planned Parenthood of Illinois was funded directly by the federal government, but IDPH also got some of these fundings and then sort of re-granted it to smaller organizations. So the governor has committed to backfilling those smaller organizations that won't apply to Planned Parenthood because we were a direct grantee. But we are really determined to work with the governor and our legislative champions in Springfield to try and make sure that everybody gets the care they need.
When you are in the crosshairs of a political climate, and Planned Parenthood has been that, whether there has been in the Obama administration, the minority at that time was really after Planned Parenthood. When the administration now, the Trump administration, is majority, they're acting on trying to defund Planned Parenthood. How, as a CEO, do you handle that? The political climate and the fact that at any given day, the currents can change and your well-being is at stake.
Well, I have to start with, I've never had an easy job. Before I worked at Planned Parenthood, I worked for the government for many years. I'm an expert in violence against women and gender-based violence, so I sort of court controversy in the workplace. It's my thing. But also, working at Planned Parenthood, sometimes it's easy, or it makes it easier to come to work every day when I put the patient at the center. And that's really what it comes down to. I trust our patients to make the decisions that they need to make about their health and their lives. I don't think politicians should be making decisions for people. And so it makes it important for me to come to work every day knowing the difference in the lives that I'm making for our 70,000 patients. And I think we're going to serve even more next year.
Is it hard? Is it hard for you to not be political? Is it hard to say, okay, I'm going to focus on my patients, and we're just going to avoid the political morass?
It's hard. I won't deny it. Because our issue of women's health, of reproductive health, of sexual health, these things are so politicized and polarized in our country right now. So it's hard to let the government allow us to just keep providing the critical care that we need to provide.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Welch is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Illinois. We're talking about Title 10 tonight. She's my guest here on Extension 720. We'd love to have you back at some point. Jennifer, thanks for being my guest.
Thanks, Justin.